Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut, this is Chloe DiPilato, and I greet you in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just pray that your spirit would be upon my words. Lord, I pray that I would speak that which is necessarily coming from you for your people today, that it would be seed for the sower, Lord God, bread to the eater, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, that it would be milk and honey, Lord God, to the one who is in the wilderness, Lord. And in Jesus' name, I just pray that you would go before this word in the holy name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today is my birthday, and I had a little birthday present from the Lord. He let me sleep in till 10 a.m., which was really a blessing after not sleeping very well in the night. Just feeling certain things in my heart. I've had a whole lot rolling around and bubbling inside, and I'm not sure what direction this is going to take. I'm just going to try to go with the flow of the Spirit. I had a definite word in my heart that had been brewing for the past couple of days, and I'm going to go ahead and go with that. But first, I just want to say I am really experiencing the joy of the Lord today. That's something that's been my portion for many years, the joy of the Lord. But oh my goodness, today it's just, I feel like I'm drawing from a bubbling well. I feel like I'm drawing with joy. Shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation? And that's what I feel like I'm doing today. So thankful to Jesus for what he has done for me, for many years of his mercy and his grace being bestowed on me when I was the least deserving person. And, you know, at times it's made me falter and wonder, Lord, can you really use me? Do I have a right to be used by the Lord? And I'm not so sure I do. I think of some other people. I've just read the story of a sister in the Lord who was so faithful to God and so obedient to him and so quick to obey the Lord and so quick to overcome temptations. And I know that there were many, and she was an overcomer, and God gave her a wonderful ministry and a glorious ministry. When I read about situations like that, I say, Lord, it's not even right for me to even record myself speaking in your name or trying to preach your word. And God gave me this scripture that he would use me if I would, that he would let me be his mouthpiece. This is in Jeremiah, I think it's 15 or 16. If I would separate, take apart, remove the precious from the vile. And in my own life, I feel like by his grace, I've done that. I've been in a wilderness for many years, getting some stuffing beat out of me and some old ways purged out. And even some things that were good, but they were not necessarily me. The Lord wants us to minister as ourselves, not as another. And I've had the Lord even purge some ways that just were not me. So here I am, and in this simplicity of ministering this way, just out of the comfort of my own home. And I pray, you know, that this at least can be seed for the sower. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, what I feel in my spirit to share with you today is a scripture that was made real to me many years ago that my grandmother gave me as a word of wisdom when I was betwixt and between what I should do. I had two things in front of me, and should I follow this path or should I follow that path? And they were both good things. Neither of them were bad things. They were both good things. But should I do this, Lord, or should I do that? And I'm not sure I'm going to tell you exactly what that was all about. Maybe through the course of this word I will. But anyway, that's as much as you need to know right now. And I'm giving this believing that it's going to help someone, believing that there is a prophetic seed here for someone who is halting between two opinions, someone who needs to make a decision, that this little bit of wisdom might set you free You might need to be set free from even feeling you need to make an either-or decision. And I'll read it out of Luke 42 first, or Luke 11 first, and then I'll read it out of Matthew. It's in both Luke and Matthew. And it says, this is Luke 11:42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. And this is the important part. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And then again, here it is in verse, in Matthew 23. And I want to read it out of here because I feel like it gives a little bit more meat. It hones in a little bit more. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. In other words, they were only doing a part of what they should be doing. They weren't doing everything they should be doing. These ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. So anyway, the word of wisdom from my grandmother is, you're doing this one thing, but you need to be doing both things. You're being faithful in this, but you need to be faithful in that too. And so I received that and it set me free because I'll tell you what it was about. It was about being faithful in a local church as well as doing something out of my own home as far as ministering to people, having prayer meetings, having little Bible studies and that kind of thing. It was like, should I just concentrate on the ministry in my own home, out of my own home, or should I concentrate on the local church? Well, what the Lord was saying was do both. Now, the church and the body of Christ has come out under a lot of legalism these days that tells you that you can only be part of a local church, and anything you do on your own has to come under the umbrella of the local church. And I don't even want to get to that debate, but I do know this. When the Lord speaks to you to do something, you need to obey him, and you need to not let man keep you from obeying what the Lord is telling you to do. Read in Romans about how every one of us, we are all going to be accountable to God. And because that we're all accountable to God, the word follows on to tell us that we shouldn't be judging one another, and neither should we be putting a stumbling block in the way of a brother or sister obeying the Lord. So if God is telling you to do something, or someone is coming to you and saying, well, the Lord is telling me to do this or do that, if it's not something ridiculous that you can tell right away by the Spirit that's really way out of left field and cannot possibly be God, then I would say to you that you just better give them their liberty and not put a stumbling block in front of them, not hinder them from doing what God's telling them to do. Listen, nobody can threaten you or your ministry that God has given to you. As long as you're holding fast to your crown, as long as you have your face before the Lord, as long as you are diligently in preparation, he's not going to let somebody come along and steal your ministry. So don't be threatened by someone who says that God told them to have a little meeting, or God told them to go preach on the street corner. What did Jesus say? He said, if those who are not against him are for him. And so the disciples, you know that Bible story I'm talking about. The disciples were very concerned that someone came along and were preaching in the name of Jesus, but they were not part of the company of the Lord's company. And he said that, don't even worry about it. Don't even think twice about it. And the same thing happened with Paul. This one was where this is the difference. When Jesus, there were some who were preaching in the name of the God that Paul knows, or in the name that Paul preaches. And what was the answer? What the demon answered? It said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? So you better make sure that you do have the relationship with the Lord set in place, and that you are a diligent seeker of the Lord, a diligent seeker in his word, before you presume to speak in his name. That's just wisdom. Again, thinking back into the Old Testament, when the people were jealous for Moses' sake, and they were prophesying, and what did Moses say? He said he wished that all God's people were prophets. There's plenty of room to go around. God said that the glory of the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill this earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill this earth as the water covers the sea. Therefore, you can't get enough preaching. You can't get enough prophesying. You can't get enough real estate across the face of this earth to suit me. The more people preaching, the more people prophesying, the more people building buildings where God's glory can be, the happier I am. You just can't get enough of it, as far as I'm concerned. So woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Thank you, Jesus. How many things are there where we are in either or mode in the body of Christ, in the church? How many things? I can think of a few. There's the either or of, well, do we either want the gifts or do we want the fruits? Well, I'm so proud because I don't like the gifts, but God knows I have the fruits. And I just don't believe in those gifts. I don't believe God is still doing that. The important thing now is to have the fruits. I have love, and I have peace, and I have joy. So it doesn't matter if I prophesy or if I pray for the sick or if I discern the spirits which people are speaking out of, or if I have faith. None of those things matter. Those gifts don't matter because I'm choosing the higher road. I would rather have the fruits. So there. Now, come on. Jesus never said that one was to cancel out the other. Paul never said one was to cancel out the other. If anything, the gifts should work by the fruits. It should be that we manifest the gifts of the Spirit out of a heart that has the fruit. And how does the fruit come? By abiding in the vine. You have a close relationship with Jesus. You are living in the sunlight of his presence and his love and time spent with him. Those gifts are going to manifest in a way that they are not going to be able to be resisted. So you want both the fruits and the gifts in your life. It's not an either or. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just looking at my notes, trying to see what other either or I can have. Oh, here's another one. Do we want power or holiness? And I am afraid I've seen too many ministries where there's a manifestation of the power of God. They have, they know the principles of fasting and praying and the things a person ought to do to have the power of God manifesting in their life. But underneath the surface, there's just a lot of things that are not becoming to a Christian character. I'm thinking of one ministry in particular, and this is from years ago, and this was not, has nothing to do with any church that I was part of or attended. Rather, it was to do with the parachurch ministry. These people would come in and they would absolutely wow you with what they could accomplish. And the altars would be filled and people would be ministered to, and it would be a glorious time. But then the stories of the behind the scenes of how they treated their staff and the things they expected to be treated like royalty, making all sorts of demands on the pastor of the local church when they came into town, and just, you know, behind the scenes, I don't want to say partying, but just such a sense of levity and not a serious bearing about them, that they were doing the Lord's work, and that it wasn't only about what they could do, but about who they were as people and as who they were, who they're representing as servants of the Lord. And that's not how it should be. And I think about the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, now it really seems like maybe I'm going on down a rabbit trail here, but just what's coming to me. The Bible speaks about how the two witnesses, I think it's Revelation 11 or Revelation 13, somewhere around there, and how they'll be slain and they'll rise again. And of course, we know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And so I conclude that that's going to be Enoch and Elijah, because they were the two who were taken, and they were just taken. They didn't die. They were taken up. And so believe in God that somehow, somewhere, they're reserved for the last days and they'll die. But when you think of Enoch and you think of Elijah, I think right there is power and holiness. Enoch walked with God. Doesn't talk about any miracles he did, but he walked with the Lord. And the Bible says that if you're going to walk with the Lord, you have to have a walk of holiness. He doesn't keep company with that which is not holy. And then, of course, Elijah was a man of miracles and of power. He was the prophet of power and of miracles. And how this is all going to play out, I'm not sure. But I do know that in the last days, there is going to be a manifestation of both the holiness of God and the power of God. It's not going to be one or the other. It's going to be both. And I believe that that type of a ministry is what we'll see the harvest in, what we'll see the kingdom come in fullness. So praise the Lord. So you tithe, rue, and mint, and coming in. And something else that I wanted to share about this, and you got to remember, I'm giving seed for the sower. I'm not trying to be a biblically Bible school scholar, astute with how to administer the word, giving points and references and outlines and all that. That's just not me. Maybe it could be me if I applied myself to a Bible school education, which I do have some Bible school education, although it might be hard to tell. I'm just a student every day, always, of the Word of God. I keep myself in the Word in prayer. And so that's where the ministry comes out of. It doesn't come out of the any education, of any that I can brag about. I do try to read and I do try to pray, and my Bible is my favorite book, because I don't always feel like I'm smart enough to know when I'm reading somebody else's book, like, is this really God or is this just them? So I spend a whole lot of time in the Word. And then when I do go to read something else, I often find myself saying, oh Lord, that's not what your scriptures say. That's not in the Bible. So I want to go into another little rabbit trail here, all these little rabbit trails, and it's about this. It's about what you're taking into your spirit, what you're receiving, being able to discern. And if you're able to discern, and if you're able to tell that you're missing something, that you're only getting a part, then as a good steward of your own spiritual life. Now, this is something I'm big on. We need to be stewards of our own spirituality, because we only may be getting part. And while I like to think a pastor is diligently giving you everything you need and is like Paul declaring the whole counsel of God, it might not always be quite that way. So if you know that there's something that you're missing in your spiritual life, then you can go after it. You can find those who minister along that vein. And I brought this up before, but I want to talk about this, because right now, this is where I'm being blessed. I've been listening to some of the faith teachers, and they are specialists to the body of Christ. When you are in need of a boost in the arm, a shot in the arm, if your faith is dragging and sagging and laying low or just not where it should be, if you go on to the Believer's Voice of Victory Network on your Roku and you start listening, oh my Lord, you'll be so encouraged in your faith. And I've even found there's more of a balance now. I listened to something by Joel Osteen the other day, and I want to declare that I absolutely receive this man as from the Lord. I know many believe he's just a prosperity preacher and that he's a counterfeit ministry. But when you listen, he preached a word on being faithful to the house of God that had to be one of the best words I've ever heard. It made me want to be getting ready for church that's going to happen on Sunday morning, which is 4 or 5 days. It made me want to be ready for church on Monday, the Monday before the Sunday. Make sure I have what I'm going to wear. Make sure I have Natalia's clothes ready. Just make sure I have everything ready so that I can get up on Sunday morning and get to the house of God. That word was so powerful and so right on and so balanced. And yet people take little snippets of what he says and they brand him. And I'm sorry, but I have to say, eventually I'm going to talk about biblical prosperity and why I believe that the Bible does preach prosperity. I could even do it here and now in this message, but I feel like I need to give time to that and place to that in a separate ministry, because there is a balance to it. There is absolutely a balance. Do you know that you can have holiness and prosperity too? It's not either or. This is not a one thing. Again, this is not a place where you need to just receive one and neglect the other. You can have both. You can tithe the mint and the ruin coming, and you can have the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You can do both. You don't need to have to decide and choose between one or the other. Oh, hallelujah. God comes to us in fullness. He doesn't come to us in partiality. The only way he comes to us in part is when we have a part and we understand and believe there's somebody in the body of Christ that has the other part that we're missing, and we receive them. Now, about the faith ministries, they have a part. They're specialists. If you're receiving from them, keep receiving from them. But the part that they don't have, which is maybe law, judgment, mercy, and faith, maybe, or well, they obviously have faith, but the part that they don't have, the part that they're not bringing understanding, go after it through another ministry, because there are things that do happen that will cause you to stumble. If you're only taking part, something else will hit you. Maybe you'll start having trouble and affliction in your life, and you'll start saying, well, they weren't even preaching the truth. Look at me, I'm having trouble and affliction. Well, the Bible says the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. So there's not a conflict when we understand how to receive the whole counsel of God, and that there's some things we've been doing and we've been leaving the others undone. When we receive it all and we see it in fullness, we're balanced people of God. And there's not nearly the contention and the conflict in the body of Christ that the devil would like you to believe that there is. Praise God. You know that there can be both blessing and judgment. There can be both blessing and warning happening at the very same time, and they both come from God. God knows how to hone in on the trouble spots. Oh, yes, he does. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a testimony of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even while I'm sitting here in the wilderness and feeling the blessing of God and enjoying those oasis places, don't you know that I know where the Lord is dealing with my heart? And he's putting his finger on things. Thank you, Jesus. But it doesn't negate the fact that there's a flow of his goodness and his glory and his presence and his power right in the midst of the wilderness, right in the midst of the trouble. I wrote to someone an email one time. I don't remember the content, but he sent it back a message. He says, God prepares a table in the wilderness. And yes, he certainly does. So, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and Annas and Cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Here's the important part. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ask the Lord today, what is it I'm doing and what is it I'm not doing that I ought to be doing? Here's one for housewives. Do you know that you can be used to the Lord? You can have a ministry and you can also keep a clean house. You can also minister to your family. Thank you, Jesus. The way I see my house is that it's not, a woman's place is not just the home. A woman's place is not just to be taking care of her family and her children and ministering to her husband's need and keeping a clean house. That's her springboard. Praise God. When you're faithful in that, and you've done what you have to do toward your home, you can feel really good when the Lord opens the door. You can feel really good that you've been doing your thing in your home. You can go with a clear conscience out to minister. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. At this time, I'm personally bereft of physical strength, except for that when I get these little shots from the Lord, which makes my home not up to the place that I want it to be. But I'm not discouraged because I just feel strength. I feel divine health coming on. And everything that the Spirit is saying that needs to be done, it's going to get done. I'm not going to leave the things undone that the Lord wants done in my home. I'm not going to leave the things undone that the Lord wants done as far as the spirit of preparation. All this is preparation. All this, it may seem silly that I'm just sitting in my home talking as if I'm standing before a church or a congregation. Well, someday I may be. So this is just all practice. I had a period in the 90s where the Lord really opened doors, and then in the early 2000s I really got off the rails and had a failure, and God brought me to repentance and got me back on track. And I've had many years where I've just been in the wilderness waiting for the Lord to open doors again. But if he never opens another door, I tell you, I have such peace in my heart that just in sharing this way, I'm sowing seeds for someone who has been faithful and who hasn't gotten off the rails. You know, I love the Lord's servants. When I think of my own life and how that I missed it, and I know what the battle is like, and I think of the servants of the Lord who I have such admiration for that have stayed on track and have not let themselves get derailed, who have been overcomers, I just feel so, so honored in the Lord that even to be able to do this, to sow a little seed that somebody else might pick up on, that they can minister to their flock, or if they're part of a parachurch ministry or whatever, that they can use it and go forth bearing precious seed. Thank you, Jesus. You'll doubtless come again bringing your sheaves with you. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to know the part, Lord, that, Father God, we've left undone that we need to do. Lord, help us to realize that this arrangement in the Spirit with you is not an either or. It's this and that, not this or that, Lord. It's fruits and gifts. It's power and holiness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's our home and it's our ministry, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just praise you this day. I pray that this speaks to someone's heart, that someone hears your voice in it, Lord, that it ministers life to someone, Lord, that someone can go forth in your name, Lord, with this word, Lord Jesus, armed in the Spirit, God, knowing, God, that they can declare the whole and the full counsel of God. Lord God, it's faith, Lord God, and it's understanding, affliction, and the purpose, Lord God. It's prosperity and it's holiness, Lord God. Father God, in Jesus' name, it's prosperity and it's taking up the cross and following you too. Lord, this is not an either-or thing, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' name, when there are choices, Lord, you give us the strength to choose the better, Lord God, to choose the higher, Lord God. When we're put in that place where there's an absolute choice, Lord, that we have to make, that God, we will know, Lord God, Father, when there is one thing that has to be laid aside in favor of another thing, Lord God. But for these matters, Lord, which are so clear in the Scripture, God, Father, help us, Lord God. Father, not to be afraid to accept your strength and your grace to do all that you're calling us to do in these last days, especially, Lord. We don't need to neglect anything, Lord. You are the strengthener, Lord God. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I just praise you this day, Father. If there's anyone who's listening to this word who does not know you, Lord, and who's a little bit mystified by all the stuff they're hearing, Lord God, I pray that somewhere in it, your presence, Lord, Father God, the pull and the tug of your spirit on their soul, Lord God, will cause them to come to you, Lord Jesus, that they know that they all they need to do is repent of their sins, ask you to come into their life and to be their Savior, and Lord, that they will confess you with their mouth, Lord, believe in their heart, Lord God, that you are their Savior, and God, that you will be the Lord of their life as they yield to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.